Welcome to Te Ara Ihutai Christchurch Coastal Pathway. My name is Hannah Sander and I'm the chair of the Coastal Pathway Group. Let's start walking south along the pathway. The estuary will be on your left. To hear about the rich archaeological heritage of this area, we'll hear from Tristan Wadsworth of Underground Overground Archaeology.
North Redcliffs is probably the most significant archaeological site in Canterbury. Personally, I'm very fond of it. The site stretches down several hundred metres past the old school site all the way down. You can't dig a hole in this area without hitting something archaeological. The artefact density was such that a single 1 by 1 metre square had over 5,000 artefacts. So we have over 300,000 artefacts from the Redcliffe site as a whole, and a lot of them were found just under your feet here. The site's one of the most significant from archaeology, but from the history of archaeology in New Zealand. Like, it was excavated from the 1870s by von Haast, who founded the Canterbury Museum. The site was first sort of rediscovered by Europeans in the 1870s when the Rhodes was pushed through, and the cave contained a great wealth of information. There's things held by the Canterbury Museum, organic stuff that doesn't usually survive, so wooden artifacts, flax sandals, that sort of thing. And Monk's Cave down the other end is just the same. There's unique artifacts like a carved wooden dog, which is the only one of its kind. It tells the story of all the landscape change. You imagine these hills are just covered in a mature podocarp forest, Totara and Kikatea and Mahui and stuff like that. If you imagine this sort of area down in front of us, where these big buildings are now, was like a lagoon that was infilled in the 20th century. So nice, beautiful golden sands with the water coming in. There was a beach surface with hundreds of thousands of stone artifacts where people have basically quarried the basalts from the cliffs of the area and have just been making adzes and stuff. In the cave were found remains of waka, and then out here, lots of moa bone, lots of ovens, 50 ovens, hangi pits basically in a 20 by 20 sort of square meter area. So the site is really rich. If you go back to sort of 1350, 1390, there's probably hundreds of people living in Redcliffs. It's a proper big village site. We're talking about the kids and grandkids of the first people to arrive in New Zealand. So it's rich with bird and other animal life. And there's probably little fires peeking up over the hills, the smoke from campfires that people spread out around the place. And then all along the coast, there's probably these little snares set up on trees and stuff to catch the shags, because there's quite an unusual amount of shag bone in the Redcliffs midden. It's like basically behind moa, it's the next most common bird that we find. I haven't tried it myself, but it seems that they must be all right. There's recorded examples of remnants of the eel weirs that were in the estuary. There's vertical stakes in the shallows where the weirs sort of stood and that would funnel the eels through. And there's interlacing of quite fine young saplings or narrow tree branches so that the eels can't just like burrow their way out and escape. And then people are, you know, taking the waka out across to South Shore and further to Sumner to sort of gather various resources around the spot. There's this wealth of resources, the estuary just full of cockles and fish and eels and seals. We have juvenile seal bones in the middens. So that sort of suggests that at some stage there was an actual breeding colony of fur seals around here somewhere. There's almost every species you can imagine. There's the old extinct swan, the pulwha, there's the finch's duck, and there's five or six species of moa, and there's fur seal and elephant seal and penguins and all that sort of stuff. But there's also kakapo and there's takahe. So it's quite a different sort of landscape and ecology to what it is now. There's all these birds that are super rare for us, but would have been every day for the people that lived here. There's a burn layer all across Sumner that sort of represents, I think, clearance of the land by fire to encourage the regrowth of things like flax and specifically bracken fern for food. We've got evidence of gardening. There was a little fire scoop still sort of in situ. I sent it off for microfossil analysis. There was no introduced pollens, so pretty confident that it was pre-contact, basically. But it had gourd in it. Yeah, and so that's one of the sort of six Polynesian cultivars that they bring across with them. we came across a whole moa, which was really unusual. There was a massive sort of 2 meter big hungi almost right next to it. And then this big pile of bones of basically the whole moa plus a couple of extra leg bones. This moa would have been about 18 kilos worth of meat. So like we're talking about enough to feed a couple of hundred people just in one go. It's the equivalent of 6 or 7 size 20 Teagle chickens or a couple of hundred quarter pounder burgers just in this one spot. And so it's very tempting to imagine it as the last big feast that they had before they left the site. It's possible that an important figure died and sort of rendered the land tapu and they had to move on. It's also possible that moa might have disappeared and they decided to shuffle on.
Thanks for joining us. You'll find more audio guides along the pathway. Archaeological sites are protected under the Heritage New Zealand Huhere Tauranga Act, and it is illegal to modify or damage any archaeological sites that predate 1900 without an archaeological authority.